Well, hello everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night study on glorifying God through my entertainment, recreation, and leisure time. Let's begin with prayer, and we'll ask Clint to lead us in prayer, please. We're getting feedback there.
I can't.
Sorry, that's frozen from audio.
Let's see. Let me do this. Becky, I'm going to mute you. Go ahead. Now, Clint, go ahead.
All right. Father in heaven, we're thankful, Lord, so much for another day that you've allowed us to live. We're thankful, Lord, for another opportunity at the close of the day to come before you and to study your word and be with one another. We're thankful for this avenue of being able to do that in today's world, and we pray that this will end soon so that we can all gather together again as we normally would and as we would prefer. Be with us through our study tonight and help us to pay attention to your word, learn from it, and make application in our lives and share it with those around us. We're most thankful, Lord, for your son Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us. Pray that we never take that for granted, always keep it in the forefront of our minds and lean on that each and every day. Be with those that are sick, especially those fighting this virus. Return them to full health, if it's your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We are going to be looking at the idea of glorifying God through my entertainment, recreation, and leisure time. We're going to do two classes. One class will be to one night, and then the other one will be for Sunday, and we'll go ahead and record it tonight after this one. But anyway, I want to start with a story and tell you something that happened to me a few years ago. It's about 8 years ago. I was preaching a sermon. Before we do that, let's go to the passages. Remember the key, the theme verses, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Why we glorify God? Because we belong to him. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. And then then therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time from 1 Peter 5 verse 6. So those are the passages that had been picked by Carol at the beginning, and I thought they were great passages. I appreciate that so very much. And as we begin our study, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Start with a story that I think is pertinent to our study. Several years ago, this was back about 8 years ago in Orlando, I preached a sermon, and I presented what I thought was a rather typical TV scenario and moral dilemma for the young people of that year. This was 2012. And so I put it this way. I said, let's say you're in high school or college, and you have discovered that your best friend is a vampire. Now, after your initial shock and revulsion, you decide that, well, since he or she has vowed to never kill another human and is your best friend after all, you cannot betray or abandon them. You just can't do it. Then one night, your friend shows up covered in blood and confesses to having lost control and killed someone. Of course, the person that he killed was a bad person who attacked your friend, so it was sort of justified. And so when this happens, what do? Do you A, kill your friend to save him from himself, B, call the police and let them deal with him, C, allow him to turn himself in and confess his crime, or D, help him hide the body? Sitting four rows in front of me in front of the pulpit was a 7-year-old boy who was visiting with his grandparents. And to their utter shock and shame and dismay, he said quite loudly, "You help him hide the body." And I immediately asked him to repeat his answer a little louder so that everybody could hear it. His response could not have made my point any clearer, because I was talking about the impact of TV and television on young people. At that time, The Vampire Diaries was the top teen show, and that was exactly what the young people on the show did. They helped their vampire friends hide the bodies. And I knew that because I had forced myself to watch those shows to know what teenagers were watching. I wanted to know what they were watching, what they were seeing. Now, 8 years later, I cannot force myself to watch the shows that today's teens are watching. I just can't do it because they're sexually explicit. They include gay and lesbian characters and love scenes, a lot of smooching, guy on guy and girl on girl. And yet these shows are all over the regular networks like CW and ABC and NBC, et cetera, as well as on Netflix and Hulu. And they are the shows that the young people are watching these days, and they're shaping the minds of the American youth. That's the entertainment that they're being filled with. Now, it's not just children, though. The range of options for adults has exploded, and most of it is just unfit for Christians to watch. But I want to say something right at the beginning, right up front. Unless you don't own a TV and never watch anything, we all live in this glass house. We all live in this glass house of watching things we probably shouldn't have watched. So let's not start throwing any stones. This class, or what I'm wanting to do with this class, is to get us to think more carefully about what we do watch, not to provide an opportunity for humble bragging about what we don't watch or condemn anyone else for watching something that I wouldn't watch. I'm not the standard, and nobody in this class is the standard with respect to that. And I'm amazed among my friends who will share what they watch. I'm shocked at the things that people watch. The range is just extensive of what people will watch. And so if you're on Facebook like I am, they talk about it. So you know about it and they share what they watch. And I would also say this, even if you're one who has never watched any inappropriate show, maybe you've never watched any inappropriate show. And if that's you, great. I would just ask you, don't get on the moral high horse, please. This may not be your weakness, but unless you're dishonest, you have a weakness, even if it's dishonesty and pride. But it's also not an excuse to say it's okay or permission for watching inappropriate things. We will all stand before the Lord and answer for the things done in the body. So we need to remember our first theme verse, that we belong to Christ. That's who we belong to. And so let's keep that in mind as we work our way through this study. All right. I just want to kind of say that just for a second there. Took everybody off of mute. And anybody want to comment? Anybody? Is everybody muted? All right. Rodney, are you in? Okay, I think I just added Rodney in here, trying to get him in here. Rodney, are you there? All right. All right, who's Rodney? Is that you? Or Clint? That's Clint. I got Clint. Okay. Anyways, I'm glad that you're here, and I just want to start off thanking all of you for coming as I talked about that issue of television, because we're going to talk about what that is in just a moment. Let's get some definitions. I want to get some definitions out here on this idea of what it is that is entertainment and so forth. Entertainment would be the idea of entertainment, just an amusement or diversion provided especially by performers. What is our biggest form of entertainment today? What's the biggest
iPhone?
Type of entertainment? Somebody?
Internet?
Internet. In fact, I was thinking television, but I also was realizing that you're probably right. Internet, because so many people watch television over the internet. That's the way that they get their television through the internet, but they also have things like YouTube and other forms. In fact, I asked Sean Quinn about this some time ago, and that's kind of the answer he gave, is that kids don't talk about the CW or those kind of things. They talk about YouTube and all of the various things that are on social media. So that for young people, but for adults, it's still television. I would say whether they watch it through the internet or just through cable the standard format or standard way of doing that. That is the way that that this takes place. Television, it's dominant. It dominates everything. So that's the main form of entertainment that we have. Second word I wanted to define was recreation. And that's refreshment of strength and spirits after work. Recreation is what we recreate. We're refreshing ourselves after having a hard day at work. And it's something that I think that a lot of people are eager to get back to. I mean, if you like going outdoors and you like going hiking or going to the lake or going to a hike, you know, going hunting in the woods, you've been able to do that. But people who like team sports like softball and stuff like that, they're really having trouble because they haven't been able to do that. So they're wanting to get back to that. And leisure time is, of course, the idea of something that takes place during time off work. Now, let me ask you this question. Are any of those things important to us as people?
I think we all need, you know, a refresher from time to time, and we need a break from things. So yes, we do need that. It's just how we spend it, you know.
Yeah, they're absolutely necessary. They are necessities of life. You know the old saying, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Well, it's a true statement. Our minds and our bodies need a good balance of work and play to keep them sharp and in peak condition. It's just necessary. And if you notice on the screen, Mark 6, verses 30 through 32 is an example of Jesus showing that how it's done, is that sometimes you have to get out there and do things in public in a way that gets seen. Or that you're going to have to get away from the public. You need to go out and get some rest and to share that time. I want to show the screen Mark 6, verses 30 through 32. Somebody want to read that for me? 30 through 32.
They gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." There were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves.
All right. So recreation, leisure time has the divine stamp of approval. No less a personage than Jesus himself shows that you need that from time to time. Now, whether we overdo it, well, that's part of the discussion that we're going to be going through in today's study and in our next study as well. All right, so that's what I wanted to ask that question. So the question isn't whether or not we need entertainment, need recreation and need leisure time. That's a given. So that's why it's good that as we work our way through the questions, and what we'll do tonight is we'll have time to kind of work our way through just this first question in this first session, and then we'll get to the rest of them in the next study. But I want to just begin with this first question, and that's a very simple one, is that how can I glorify God through my entertainment, recreation, and leisure time? That's the question that we want to ask as we begin this section or work our way through this. How can I glorify God through my entertainment, recreation, and leisure time? And let me ask you this. How many of you think that that's an odd question? Is it something you would have even thought about except for this class?
I think it's just something that oftentimes we don't think of. Glorifying God as being only when we worship God. And a worship service. So therefore, you know, away from that worship service, we sometimes have a difficult time understanding that every aspect of our life, we need to be glorifying God. And so if we find ourselves doing things that are inconsistent with God's will, as far as entertainment, recreation, and leisure time, then it would be very difficult to glorify God by doing that.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? And good comments, good thoughts. Anybody else?
I think most of us try to detach as being humans and worldly people. We try to detach our recreation and entertainment leisure time from God. We think we're not, he doesn't see us. We try to remove ourselves from that process, even though we shouldn't and we can't. We try to think that this is our time, and that we get to do what we want to do, even though everything is God's time, and we need to be thinking about his will for us and the best thing for us, and how does that affect us, whatever it is that we're entertaining ourselves with.
All right. Yeah, excellent point. And I think, tying what Carol said to what you said, Rodney, is that, we obviously believe, and rightfully so, that, what we do in the collective assembly, or when we study our Bible and worship God at home, maybe as a family or as an individual, that's God time. And even work, we probably have all heard sermons about how you glorify God through your work, that when you work as unto the Lord instead of just as a man pleaser, or just to please your boss. So heard those sermons. But I think you're right about that, Rodney, tying this back into what Carol said, is that when it comes to entertainment, we kind of forget that God's got to be a part of that as well. And so that brings in a number of different factors that we have to understand, that there are inappropriate ways of entertaining ourselves and recreating ourselves and using our leisure time that are never acceptable. They're not acceptable. We should never, ever engage in those. But then there is also a way in which things that are perfectly good in and of themselves can become gods or idols of them to us, in a way that we worship them and we've kind of set God off to the side while we go do this. I'll give you a perfect illustration. And I was 20, this was in 1982. So I was 22 years old and had all the wisdom of a 22-year-old and the cockiness of a 42-year-old. But anyway, I went somewhere with an elder to go do something, and we were talking, and he was talking about some members that were closer to my age that were struggling with their faith. And he was worried about it. I said, the problem is that they got this boat, and every weekend they go out on the lake, and they'll actually spend the night out at the lake, and then they end up not coming to church on Sunday. And then, what goes with boating is drinking. They're probably drinking some beer. And I said, okay. He didn't know that for sure, but he's assuming that there's a connection. And then he turned to me and said, within 2 minutes of having said that about them and their boats and their drinking, "Have you got a deer leash yet?" And it was all I could do. Of course, I didn't have the money for one in the first place, but it was all I could do not to look at him and say, "Well, I don't know about that hunting. All those hunters, they get out there and they camp out on the weekends and they get drunk, sit around a campfire drinking beer." I didn't say it, but I wanted to. So you have perfectly acceptable behavior that can be corrupted. You have some behavior that is just completely unacceptable no matter what. But then you have, let's say that there was no drinking involved, but if you go hunting or you go boating and you go out on Friday night and you don't come home till Sunday night, and God never even enters your mind in that weekend, have you glorified God? I think all of us would say the answer to that would be no. That's the obvious answer. No, that doesn't glorify God. So I want to give you five things that I think help us, that can kind of help us focus on how we can glorify God through our entertainment, recreation, leisure time. First thing is, realize that it's merely momentary, merely momentary. I ask you to read Ecclesiastes chapters 1, 2, and 3. And I just want to point out very quickly here that the passage here in Ecclesiastes, and let's see if I can get it to come up. There we go, Ecclesiastes. Now, I just wanted to point out a few of these. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. Someone read that for me. If you can't on the screen, if you're looking at your phone, you may not be able to. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1.
"I said to myself, 'Come now, I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself,' and behold, it too was futility."
All right, then you go down to verse 11, kind of the same thing.
Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun.
All right, and then one more verse 17.
So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind.
All right. So what do you think that the point that we can make about those three verses, that this is that first section of the book where Solomon is talking about how he just really went after life, going to go live life to the fullest. And he discovers that there just is not much there. And that's why I said it's merely momentary. You know, the word futility here means vain. Striving after wind means you're chasing something that you can't hold on to. And so we have to realize that no matter what we do, no matter how much fun it might be, it's merely momentary. You know, I remember, you know, I'll be 60 in August, so I'm almost 60 years old. I had to quit playing basketball when I was 40. I loved playing basketball. My mind tells me I could still go out there, but the first time I try to jump, my knees start hurting. And after about 5 minutes, I realized why I can't play basketball anymore. You know, so the thrill and excitement of playing basketball for me has been over for 20 years. It was merely, and so, you know, there was a moment in time where I got to play it a lot, but then that has ended. You know, maybe, and when I was younger, even younger than that, I loved hunting. I loved going hunting. But it's, you know, after you shoot something, then you got to go out and shoot something else, and then you got to go shoot something else. And I just kind of got to the point where I just don't care anymore. I didn't care anymore. It just didn't interest me. So pursuing pleasures, pursuing the things of this world, they bring us joy, but it's just for a moment, a mere moment. Even the good stuff, even the things that we really enjoy, after a while, they just kind of lose their punch, lose their power. Anybody, Carol, I know you're my age, so let me ask you, is there anything that you've done that you just no longer have any interest in doing?
No.
oh, come on now. Don't even do that to me.
No, I mean, it just happens. I mean, whether it's physical or mental or, you know, you just realize there's other things that are priority over those things.
Yeah. Other things take precedence. Ecclesiastes 3:9. I moved off that screen with Ecclesiastes 3:9. It's just kind of the same thing that it just, you pursue the things of this world, and after a while you realize that this world is just not all that big a deal anymore. It reaches a point where you realize this life has its limitations and will come to an end. And that's kind of the thing that we learn by virtue of the things that we enjoy becoming tiresome to us and of no interest to us, is that things have a life cycle. They have an end. And so we need to prepare for the time when there's no longer, this life is over. All right. So that's realize, first of all, that it's merely momentary. The second thing is rejoice in the simple blessings of God. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And verses 12 and 14, Ecclesiastes 3, 12 through 14. Someone read that.
I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it, for God has so worked that men should fear him.
All right, and then skip down to verse 22.
I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. Or who will bring him to see what will occur after him?
All right. So even in the midst of all this vanity of vanities, everything is vanity, he does say that when you get right down to enjoying life, enjoy the simple things of life. They're blessings from God, and they're intended to get us to look toward God and to see God and realize that they're from Him, and that once we're over, these things here will be done. And so rejoice in those. Take simple pleasure in the simple blessings of God. And that means that way we're glorifying God. We're appreciating the things that God has given us and provides us. You know, and simple blessings like being able to be with friends and eat and drink. And why do you think all of us are so ready for this quarantine to end? Because we need to be with people and enjoy life. We just need that. And so that's so very important for us to have that as a part of our life. All right. So that's realize it's a merely momentary. Rejoice in the simple blessings of God. Be thankful for the things God has provided us. The third one is to reshape your thoughts for good. Reshape your thoughts for good. Turn over Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, how many of you have ever seen the TV, read the book, or seen the little video, the Very Hungry Caterpillar? Anybody seen that recently? I have, because I showed it and watched it with my grandson, and I've read the book to him. But the caterpillar just has a voracious appetite, and it consumes all that food. Then it goes into the cocoon, and then comes out a butterfly. It transforms itself. It changes from the inside out into something completely different. And so when we think about glorifying God through our entertainment, we need to think of using this as a time to reshape our thoughts for good. Think about what you said, Rodney, about how when we're doing things that are entertainment, that kind of God's kind of out of the picture. What we need to do is refocus on how to get Him into the picture. And so Romans 12, somebody read verses 1 and 2, Romans 12.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
All right. So conform to the world is being shaped externally to blend in with the world. There's no such thing as Christian camo. If you're a Christian and you're wearing camo so that you blend in with the world, then you have to really ask yourself, are you a Christian at all in that case? Well, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, which is that word metamorphosis, the caterpillar word, by what? By the renewing, making your mind new through what you consume. So the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is? How can you prove what the will of God is if you don't know what it is? Well, that's how you renew your mind, is finding out what God would have us to do. Colossians, 2 Corinthians 3:18 is another one about reshaping our thoughts for God, being transformed into the image of Christ, and Philippians 4:8, that's a passage you almost should be able to quote. What does Philippians 4:8 say? Anybody?
Whatever things are, yeah, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
All right, think about these things. New American Standard says dwell on these things. So get that in your mind. Let that be what you think about. Things that are the things that you, that are a part of your entertainment that can be and should be exalted and can be bragged about. And then also then Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 3. Let me read that.
If then you've been raised with. Is that too much feedback? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Okay. All right, thank you. Exactly. So again, it's what you're thinking about, what's in your mind. Fill your mind with the things of God so that you can glorify God. Let me ask you this. When you go to, let's say you go camping for the weekend, or you go spend time at the ballpark, or whatever it is you might do where you're going to be gone for some time, what we should consider? I don't want to put anybody on the spot and say, did you ever do this? That's a bad question. So forgive me, I take that back. Let's put it this way. What we need to do is consider incorporating Bible study and worship into our leisure activities. So if we go camping with our kids, take our Bibles with us and have time where we spend talking about the Bible itself. And then also when you're walking around looking at nature, incorporate discussions about God in that leisure time. And, especially if you're doing this with your children, let them see. Getting back to what you said, Rodney, let them see that God isn't just for at home or at church. God is a part of your life no matter where you are and no matter what you're doing. And it's a very, very valuable thing to do and a way to do that. All right. All right. The next thing I wanted to look at is this idea of reshaping your thoughts for good. Refrain from immorality. This is one, Ephesians 5. Somebody turn to Ephesians 5 verses 1 through 5. And read that for us. Ephesians 5, 1 through 5.
The imitators of God, for his dear children, live a life above, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
All right. So just flat out, there is no room whatsoever within our entertainment, within our recreation, within our leisure time, of things that are immoral, things that are ungodly, things that are just unacceptable. And they just, we can't tolerate it. We have to make sure that we keep those things out of, off our TV screens and out of our lives, so that, we don't bring disgrace to God and to ourselves. And we'll talk about that in our next study when we look at some of the other sides of this issue, some of the other questions. So 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 1 through 8, Paul tells the church at Thessalonica to tell them to abstain from fornication. Flee fornication. Stay away from it. Have nothing to do with it. And it was a common thing in the first century. It's a common thing today too, but in the first century, it was part of their worship, was to actually go to a temple to visit a prostitute. And Paul's saying, as a Christian, you have nothing whatsoever to do with that. So that is not something that, well, at recreation time, go down and visit the local idol temple. No, just don't do it. Don't go there. Don't have anything to do with that. So refrain from that. And then the last one that I wanted to look at for this study was to restructure your time. Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 through 8 talk about that, you know, there's a time for this and a time for that. And kind of the point that I wanted to make out of that is that we have times for various things, but we need to start thinking about how God fits within those. Because if our entertainment, if our recreation, if our television occupies too much of our time at night, if our weekends are just built around going to the lake, going to the hunting lodge, going to this, that, or the other, that, you know, and we squeeze a little bit of God in, you know, by going to church on Sunday, you know, I know I'm talking to a group of people who really don't do that. But I'm hoping that others who watch this, that maybe if that's what they're struggling with, they'll say, you know what, I need to restructure and reshape how I use my time for entertainment, because it's just something that needs to be shaped around God. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll read verses 15 to 16. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And so he's saying, be careful how you live. And included in that would be the idea of how we entertain ourselves and what kind of recreational activities we engage in. And make sure that we're glorifying God. You know, if we're spending too much time doing too many things that are good in and of themselves, can we say that we're truly glorifying God? And I would say, the answer is no. Well, we got 2 minutes and 10 seconds left. Anybody want to say anything before we wrap this session up. Actually, we were down to 1 minute.
So you have three left.
Yeah, that's okay. Three. Yeah, that's a three. Okay.
One that passage in Ephesians 5 has always sort of stood out to me. I think Clint's version, I don't know what version that was, it said not to let be a hint. The New King James says not to let be named among you. And sometimes I think we feel like, well, as long as I'm more godly than I'm not godly, I'm okay. But it says not even a hint, you know, yeah, should be in our lives.
Yeah, just don't make room for it. That's why I said we're not going to be casting stones. This isn't about, shaming anybody because, well, hey, you watch such and such television shows and you shouldn't have done it. Well, maybe they shouldn't have, but, you know, we all have that. You know, we live in this glass house together, so let's not start throwing stones, but let's not excuse it and say, well, then it's okay either. So we have to recognize that look in our own hearts and in our own lives and say, all right, this is an area I need to improve on. Maybe it's not inappropriate stuff. Maybe it's appropriate things that consume too much of our time that we really need to step back from and say, you know what? I'm going to have to stop doing that. I just can't do that anymore. All right? Anybody else? We've got a minute and a half. Somebody get something in quick. All right. Well, what we'll do is at 7:45, so in about 5 or 6 minutes, I'll start the second session, and we'll go from there to wrap up. I got to say this very quickly. You know, when we talk about, this is why I talk about not being holier than thou. How many of you would ever say you should watch, you know, Gunsmoke is an okay TV show? All right, well, let me ask you this. Do you realize that Marshall Dillon probably is the biggest mass killer on TV after 20 years, killing about 15 or 20 people every year? And then on top of that, you have Miss Kitty running the brothel. And one episode, I got caught watching this at my mother's house. One episode blew my mind because they celebrated Christmas with whiskey shots in Miss Kitty's bar, which is a brothel. So that's right. Never forget, Miss Kitty was a pimp, but we would never say we shouldn't watch Gunsmoke. Let's think about that. And with that, we'll end this class and we'll pick up with the next one here in a little bit. Thank you so much for your participation and for being a part of this. And we'll pick up in a moment. And we'll end the meeting. We'll stop the